This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. Now, last week, Malaysia was elected to the United Nations Human Rights Council for 2022 to 2024, and we were one of the 18 member states that were elected for the next term with a total of 183 votes. Now, it looks like a persuasive victory, but it should be noted that there wasn't much of a competition.
Oh my goodness. There were 18 member states vying for 18 seats. So every candidate won. Wow, I wish I was in that race, for goodness sake. But additionally, giving the Malaysian government less than stellar track record on human rights during the pandemic, there is really some skepticism as to whether Malaysia can live up to the human rights ideals that it's supposed to uphold as a member of the HRC. So how can the government make sure of this opportunity to bolster its human rights credentials at home?
Joining us on the line to discuss this is Gerald Joseph, Commissioner at the Human Rights Commission of Malaysia, or otherwise known as SUHAKAM. Good morning, Gerald. Now, in your view, how significant is Malaysia's appointment to the UN Human Rights Council? Should this be interpreted as an endorsement of our human rights record?
Good morning. Well, we are happy that we made it to the council. Any place where we can put our proud flag, we should be celebrating. But definitely, it's not an endorsement of any sort of records. It is an endorsement of good support by your peers, other countries, because it's a voting process, right? So we got 182 votes, so that says, oh, okay, people do support us. It is an endorsement of countries willing to put their name on the block to reaffirm universality of human rights. I mean, this is where countries, no matter what the records are, I know people always refer to China or Saudi, who's also there. But once you go in, you basically say, I want to be part of the club that subscribes to some basic tenets of universal human rights. But it's definitely not an endorsement of the Malaysian human rights record. But time will tell what our record will show. But more importantly, any country that goes in for election, it has to put out, it's called to put out a human rights pledges, a record of a pledge. And Malaysia did a voluntary pledge and commitment. It's a 7-page document. Maybe Malaysians have not seen it, but you can see it on the Wisma Putra website. It's quite a long list of what we have done and what we aspire to do. And that, I think, is a list we should keep our eyes on.
So perhaps an endorsement on our diplomacy rather than our human rights. Can I just build on that 7-page document? What really stands out there?
So I think the council will look at your record in terms of voting. Of course, any country can choose or not to choose. So in Malaysia's pledges, it uses the word whole society approach. I can't read the 7 pages. It's too early in the morning.
Yeah, it's okay, we forgive you.
We don't have the time also, Gerald, but just a snapshot, please.
We just dare, and I use the word dare in a very positive way. We dare mention that we bring an in-depth study and review of security laws, including SOSMA, POCA, Sedition Act, Peaceful Assembly Act, things which we are struggling with, Printing Presses Act, and I'm very happy that it's on paper. So we need a progress in the 3 years. It speaks about the issue of death penalty. It refers to the report by the committee. It speaks about working in the Human Rights Commission, Office of the High Commission of Human Rights. It speaks about alternative to detention pilot project to children in detention. And that's great because we've been waiting for it, no? It speaks about a blueprint of a national development policy for indigenous people that is in line with the UN declaration. I'm just picking up a few samples. Yeah, it actually gives weight to the voters of Undi 18, which is great because we are on track for that. Another point it mentions is to continue to promote diversity through respect for cultural rights. This basically means that human rights belong to all in Malaysia and cannot be subservient to, you know, the growth of what I call right-wing groups who try to derail the concept of universality. It speaks about obligation of our treaties that we have signed to do better. Great. It also says, and this is where I want to just quote, engage closely with relevant stakeholders with the aim to achieving precise and full understanding of towards ratifying other international treaties. So we even dare say that, you know, treaties have become such a political issue. So we've said some things quite publicly, quite openly, and now it's time for us to track and ensure we are moving in that direction.
Now, building on that, the point that you just made, now we as a country have seen two changes of government in less than 2 years amidst a pandemic. So just give us an assessment of the human rights trend in the light of these developments. How serious do you think this current government is about implementing all those measures that you've suggested?
Well, I think the shock for us is that we can get so many government in such a short period of time. Like, you pay for one, you get three, you know. So we didn't really ask for that. But they are not as powerful. The government's on top is not powerful. It's very space for us now to negotiate for governments to come up better with their records. And so this is where the issue of voting, our vote becomes more important, because for the first time, anti-hopping law is discussed by all parties. I never thought this would be accepted. There is this question about accountability, question about, you know, two standard sets during the COVID management. People don't like that. But also, it's showing incoherent policies in terms of migrant workers, intolerance to criticism, like our cartoonist gets called in by police so regularly, the organizer of Kita Lawan. So I think there is a growing space that some things people are not happy with. And now there needs to be greater negotiation on the top. And I think this is great. So as our place on the council, it's not only Malaysian type of issues we bring up, because as a member of the Human Rights Council, you're one amongst 47 countries, and you also have a global responsibility. And Malaysia has done well on issues such as Afghanistan, Myanmar, Palestine. So we will continue, I'm sure.
But Jerry,
the
council
discusses that. Yeah.
But Jerry, I'm actually very worried, because while you say we're heading in the right direction, the sea triggers a lot of good actions to move forward. But you see our neighbours all, I think, regressing. You look at Singapore, Korea, right? They're implementing, you know, tighter security laws. Do you think the government will basically use the pandemic to perhaps, you know, slow things down and reverse things then?
Well, I think we've also tried and tested that. We did the emergency law, so we've got that tick box done. I would say that that's not the way to go anymore. It's the reopening up of a nation, the seriousness of rebuilding a nation. So you want to use the shortcut methods of limiting. I think the question now, people say, what you promised in the last many, many months, this is the time. No more excuses not to do it. Rollouts of vaccine is doing. Where's the IPCMC? Where's the repeal of laws? Where's the death penalty report? What is your coherent messages for anti-hopping law? How to make independent? So I think these are the things that will now come out in less, more focus. I'm quite confident that with the top not being so powerful as it was, where one block could railroad anything in our history of Malaysia, now is a government of negotiation, and I think it bodes well for us on the ground to demand for human rights.
And just one last quick question very quickly, and I want to bring it back to the United Nations. Just help us understand the importance of this role at HRC. I mean, in particular, because so many other members have questionable human rights records themselves. Is this just a bunch of diplomats getting together and having a nice cozy chat at the end of the day?
Well, it's not. Well, it is diplomats getting together, but it's open. It's an open process. You and I can participate, can follow. And if you're an NGO, you can even make a statement. It's not always cozy discussion. Sometimes it's contentious political discussion, border issues. You know, India, Pakistan may have a go at each other. Myanmar will be discussed, Afghanistan. But the main point is that it takes on all human rights issues of the world, and nothing gets pushed to the side. Even Malaysian, as a member of the council, it may not like, but there could be a few NGOs picking up Malaysian issues and they still have to listen to it. There's this Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights that does excellent job, and her report is presented every year. We have this thing called the Special Rapporteur, and they have visited Malaysia, and there's a universal periodic review. There's good stuff there happening, and I think it's hard work. Whoever is a diplomat, and I think it's Ambassador Faisal in Geneva, he'll have to go nonstop for a lot of meetings, because as a council member, you will then have be called to make votes on resolution, agree. So I think we have a tough role, but I'm hoping they won't play the politics of regression or downgrading, but really show our mental that we can push up human rights. And I think it's about time Malaysia does something globally proud for us.
Yeah, thank you for your time. That was Gerald Joseph, Commissioner of the Human Rights Commission of Malaysia, otherwise known as Suhakam. And I hope, yes, we use our time at the UN Human Rights Council to make a difference. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.